puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago.
It's time now for Abandoned Manitoba, where we check in with Gordon Goldsborough from the Manitoba Historical Society. Good morning.
Good morning, Stephanie.
So remind us of the clue from last week.
Well, I think a story that's very topical. You know, we've been hearing lately quite a few cases where someone has falsely claimed Indigenous ancestry. You know, most recently, a professor at the University of Saskatchewan. This week, we're going to talk about a building that is connected with another such case from 90 years ago. The building in Riding Mountain National Park, known as Grey Owl's Cabin.
Grey Owl is the Englishman who claimed to be Indigenous, right?
You're right. Yeah, he was born at Hastings, England in 1888 of English descent on both sides of his family. Archibald Stansfeld Bellaney is his name, and he came to Canada at the age of 18. His claims to be of mixed ancestry, what we might call Métis today, began very early. Now, a memoir written in 1972, years after his death, by his former wife, Gertrude Bernard, says that he himself claimed to be the Montreal-born product of a Scotsman and an Apache mother. Now, he did work for years as a trapper, a guide, a forest ranger in northern Ontario and northern Quebec, and he was knowledgeable in the ways of the outdoors. But it was only as he began to develop a reputation as a public speaker and a writer about the virtues of nature and the need to protect and conserve wildlife that his gray owl persona began to define him. In fact, the seminal moment in his transformation into gray owl seems to have happened in 1931.
And what happened then?
Well, as relayed in Gertrude Bernard's memoir, in 1931, Bellaney was invited to speak at the annual convention of the Canadian Forestry Association. The meeting was held in Montreal. The next day, a local newspaper reported on the presentation with a headline with large block letters, "Full-Blooded Indian Gives Lecture on Wildlife." Well, when he was asked by his friends if he would correct the paper's mistake about his ancestry, Bellaney apparently merely responded, and this is a quote, "Why spoil their little old story?" Well, in her memoir, Bernard said about the incident, and this is a quote, "Had Archie known how seriously people were going to take his ancestry, this would have been the time to have clamped down on that full-blooded Indian stuff. But how was he to know that the more he wrote, the more Indian he became in the eyes of the public?" Unquote.
What happened next?
Well, later that year, 1931, Bellaney published his first book entitled The Men of the Last Frontier. It was published under the name of Grey Owl, cementing in the minds of Canadians that this man, who dressed rustically, had long flowing dark hair, who spoke and wrote powerfully as an advocate for the natural world, they thought he was Indigenous. And this year, 1931, was also when his connection to Manitoba was made, when he was offered the job of naturalist with the Dominion Parks Branch to be based in Riding Mountain National Park. Bellaney arrived early in that year, and he settled into a log cabin built in the park according to his specifications. It had special passages, for example, to allow his pet beavers to come and go as they pleased. And this cabin was the basis for my own misconception in the story of Grey Owl.
Pet beavers?
Pet beavers, jelly roll, and rawhide.
Oh my goodness. So what else do you have to tell us about Grey Owl?
Well, my misconception started back when I was a child in the 60s and 70s. I thought that Bellaney had lived for much of his life in Riding Mountain National Park. You know, in my thinking, why else was there a building that still bore his name decades after his death? My dad suggested during one of our family visits to the park that we walk to see the home of this famous conservationist. You know, and I remember that walk still years later so vividly. You know, we walked and walked. The trail seemed to go on forever. When we finally got there, I confess that I was thoroughly underwhelmed. Whereas Gertrude Bernard had described the L-shaped building in her memoir as a castle, as, quote, "a building of great dimensions built of stained and varnished logs," well, I found it rather less impressive. You know, much later, I would learn that Bellany lived in the cabin for barely 6 months. And I think that's being generous.
And why was his residence in the park so short?
Well, when he arrived in the park with his two captive beavers, Rawhide and Jelly Roll, Jelly Roll had already given birth to four beaver kittens. In other words, it was now a developing family of beavers, and a lake that was adjacent to Bellany's cabin that they had hoped would be suitable for occupation by the beavers, well, it proved too shallow and stagnant as a result of a regional drought that year. No sooner had Bellany arrived than he traveled to Prince Albert National Park in northern Saskatchewan in search of better conditions, and he moved there later that year. And he lived there, except for the odd book tour and lecture across North America and Great Britain, for the rest of his life. And so, in fact, there is a second gray owl's cabin at Prince Albert.
Was the cabin in Riding Mountain National Park used for other purposes after Bellany left?
Well, according to the park, the cabin was occupied only for a short time during the winter of 1933 by three men who had been hired to look after beaver that had been stocked in that lake near the cabin. Otherwise, it has been used mostly as a scenic stopping place enjoyed by generations of park visitors, including, of course, a few tired, grouchy teenagers like me. But the cabin does make me think of other historic log buildings in the park.
There are many log buildings there dating back to the 1930s, right?
Yes. I know, and although people have been enjoying the park recreationally, and they have been building cottages on the shores of Clear Lake since the 1910s, conversion of the Riding Mountain Forest Reserve to Riding Mountain National Park occurred in May of 1930. And the founding of that park was the stimulus for adding a range of structures, many of them built of logs, looking, you know, quite rustic. Among the ones still standing today is the Park Theater, built between 1936 and 1937. It's believed to be the only log theater building in the country. Another is the building known today as the Visitor Center that began in 1933 as a museum and auditorium. A former fire hall dating from 1935 is now used as an Indigenous interpretive center and sharing lodge. Perhaps most historic of all is the original park superintendent's residence, built in 1927 and moved to its present location in Wissagaming in 1932. It was used for accommodation of park staff into the 1970s. Then it sat vacant for a prolonged period before it was turned into a facility for the Friends of Riding Mountain National Park in 2010. And of course, I would be remiss if I didn't mention that there are still many residential cabins that have had a single family own them for generations. In fact, since before the park itself was established.
What is the present status of Gray Owl's cabin?
Well, the federal government has an agency called the Federal Heritage Buildings Review Office, and that office provides internal advice on the conservation and restoration of government assets. Remember, I mentioned this office several weeks ago as having rejected Brandon's Red Barn as a heritage structure. Well, anyway, that office recommended the cabin be restored as a Canada 150 project. Starting in the fall of 2018, a restoration team began to do repairs of its sagging foundation and its deteriorating logs, windows, and shingles. The work was expected to be completed in 2020, but I don't know the extent to which the pandemic may have prolonged the work. Well, today, now that I have a bit more perspective about my childhood walk to Gray Owl's cabin, I think I would definitely recommend a visit to it, if for no other reason than to enjoy nature along the way. And I think also to see a log cabin with an interesting, well, if perhaps somewhat misleading history.
And also do the walk in memory of the beavers, Rawhide and Jelly Roll.
Absolutely. And the beavers that followed.
Thank you so much for that, Gordon. What's up for next week?
Well, periodically in this Abandoned Manitoba series, we have updates based on new information about some of the topics we have discussed. Next week, some updates on corner stores, helicopters, barns, and a grand hunting lodge.
I look forward to that.
Talk next week. Bye-bye for now.
No matter where I go, every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba. Many moons ago.